We're continuing the Shir on Likutei Halachos, Choshen Mishpat, Chelek Aleph, Hilchos Toyin Venitan, Halacha Beis, Paragraph Dalid. This next paragraph that we're going to be learning is something extraordinary, very special. And today's Shir, today is 11 days in Kislev, 5,774. We dedicate the Shir today, Le'ilo Nishmas, Horav Tzviaria Ben Zion, Rabbi Yisrael Abba Zechon Avrocha, Rabbi Rosenfeld, who was my first rabbi in Breslov. I had the privilege of spending tremendous quality time with him, and a lot of what we share comes from him. And it's very appropriate what we're going to be learning now. We were speaking about the topic of Shavua, the topic of swearing, in cases where there's a litigation in court. Reuven says that Shimon owes me $1,000, and Shimon can either claim I owe you part of it, I owe you 500, I owe you 300, or Shimon can say I owe you nothing. If he agrees to part of it, it's called Moida B'miktzas, he admits partially. If he denies it completely, it's called Koifer HaKoil, total denial. And the Gemara tells us that according to the Torah, according to the written Torah, it's only in the case where the person admits partially that we obligate him to swear that he only borrowed half or part of it. And if he does swear while holding a Sefer Torah, going through all the laws of swearing, then we believe him. Whereas if the person denies it totally, we do not have him swear. According to the written Torah, Torah Shebichsav, one of the later rabbis instituted a Shavuas Heses, it's called, that even in the case where he denies completely, he does swear. And Rav Nosson Zalnau is going to, we started speaking about this, Rav Nosson Zalnau is going to show us something incredible related to us on this topic. Paragraph Dalid, Aval Badoiroi Soachroinim. In the earlier generations, there was only a Shavua in the case of Moida B'miktzas, but in the later generations, Ro Chachomeinu Zal Lesakin Shavua Gam LeKoifer BaKoil. Our rabbis saw fit to institute a Shavua, having to swear, even in the case where he denies it completely. And now Rav Nosson Zal explains, Ki Ze Yodua, because this is known, shekol zman hagolus, that throughout the time that the Jewish people are in exile, ikar avoidois shel kol tzadikei emes, the main efforts and the main work of all the true tzadikim, bifrat hatzadikim hanoiroim hamuflogim b'mayla, especially the awesome tzadikim, who are way, way above the standard type tzaddikim. In other words, here he's referring to people like Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the Arizal, people of that caliber. Their efforts, who rock, are directed only levarer nitzoitzois meim keaklipois, in order to extract, to rescue holy sparks and holy souls from among the klipois, from among the tumah, kedei lekarev bias Moshiach, and thereby bring close the coming of Moshiach. Ki boze tolui bias Moshiach, because it's upon this specifically that is dependent the coming of Moshiach. The coming of Moshiach depends on this. Kisheyushlam haberur, when this process will be completed, this process of finding, searching for, and finding those holy sparks, those holy souls that are found among the klipos, among the tumah, among the sitra achra, that can be rescued, that can be taken out of there. Ubechol doer vodoer, and throughout each and every generation, mevararim nitzoitzois kedoishois, me oimek oimek yoiser. The tzaddikim are digging deeper, going deeper into the sitra achra, reaching lower and lower into thicker darkness, into thicker tumah, to search for holy sparks that haven't been taken out, that haven't been rescued yet, to find them and to be able to take them out. V'zeh b'chinas ikvois meshicha kiyadua. And this is why the Gemara uses the terminology, the footsteps of Moshiach. When it talks about the Moshiach's, the date of Moshiach's coming approaching, it says, be'ikvise de Moshicha, during the final generations, when it'll be closest to when Moshiach is coming, that's called ikvise Moshicha, because that's when we're reaching down to the feet and to the bottom of the feet. We're reaching all the way down to the lowest place to be able to rescue sparks of holiness that are there. U'kishayovoi Moshiach, and when Moshiach himself will arrive, azai yevarer gemar haberur mitachlis oimek imkei haklipos. Moshiach's going to be the one to finish this job. He's going to go further down than anybody else. He's going to reach to the lowest places, which no tzaddik has ever gotten to yet, and rescue the sparks from there. Va'oz yehagula. And then it'll be game over. Then the redemption will take place. That'll be the end, the final end of Golus, exile. V'alkein, and for this reason, Badoiroi Suachroinim, in the later generations, not during the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, not during the time of the prophets, not during the time of Rabbi Akiva, but during the time of the later rabbis of the Gemara, Tiknu Chachameinu Shvuas Hesis, the rabbis decided to institute this Shvua, that even the person who denies completely, Gam LeKoifer BaKoil, even for the person who denies completely, Shehu BeBechinas Ra LeGamri, who we said earlier, he represents total evil. A person who partially admits and partially doesn't admit, he's a combination of good and bad, we said. But a person who's denying totally, a total atheist, chas v'shalom, a total denier, he represents ra legamri, she'enoi choizer al hakidusha al yidei hashvua, who we learned earlier, cannot be brought back into holiness by making him swear a shvua midoraisa, b'chinas Shabbos. We learned earlier that Shavua, swearing, is so holy an act, it corresponds to the holiness of Shabbos, which has the ability to reach even into the weekdays and convert part of that to Shabbos. Avul Chachameinu Zal, hitilu gam olav Shavua. So in the written Torah, we don't find a Shavua, we don't find a tikkun for such a person. But the rabbis discovered a tikkun even for this person, a shvua even for this person. Ki ro'az ba'isei ador, because the rabbis of that generation saw she'achshov tzrichen levarer hakedusha gam misham, that the time has come to reach out even further, to go lower down, and to be able to rescue the holiness that's found even there. Afilu mebechinas hora legamri, even in those places that are referred to as total evil. We had learned earlier that there's two categories. There's the three klipois that are called Ra Gomor, from whom usually we do not accept converts. We cannot bring that into the realm of holiness. That has to be gotten rid of. That has to be cut away. And then there was what's called Klipas Noiga, the twilight, which is a combination of good and bad, where there's a whole process of separating the good from the bad and taking the good and integrating it into the Kedusha and discarding the bad, getting rid of the bad. But Rav Nosson Zal explains here, that was up until a certain date. The rabbis, we'll see which rabbi in a moment, which rabbi in the Gemara realized that during his generation, the time has come to take it a step further, to reach out into the Ra Gomor, because there are sparks of holiness even there. We once learned, if you recall, when we spoke about the Ketores, the holiest sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdosh, the Gemara tells us Mordechai HaTzadik is found in the Ketores. His name, one of the spices, Mordoror, the Targum says Mordechai. Whereas Haman, the Gemara says Haman is found by the Eitz Hadas. When Hashem said to them, Hamin ho'eitz hadas, did you eat from that tree I told you not to? Hamin, hey mem nun, is the letters Haman. But the Shiloh HaKodesh says that the Ketores represents a holiness that goes from top to bottom. The top of the top is Mordechai. The bottom of the bottom is Haman, so Haman's got to be in there too. And he says the word Chelbana is Bigematria Haman, that Haman is included in the Ktoiris. But what are you talking about? The Ktoiris is a holy item, and Haman is the most unholy, the most impure Amalek, total evil. The answer is even within total evil, there has to be some kind of a spark of holiness. Otherwise, it couldn't have come into being. It couldn't exist. And we find the Gemara says that from the grandchildren of Haman, from the descendants of Haman, came forth rabbis who taught Torah to the Jews in Bnei Brak. So we see even within the Ra Gomor, at a certain point in time, the tzaddikim realize that the time has come to cross that line, to go all the way into enemy lines, to go into the Ra Gomor and rescue those final sparks of holiness, which are going to bring about the coming of Moshiach, when we reach into there and we're able to save the sparks of holiness even from there. Afilu mebechinas hara legamri, even in the realm of total bad, shubechinas koifra koil, which is total denial. V'alkein, Torchu, and this is why the rabbis worked so hard. They struggled, they toiled, umotzu zchus, and they were able to find merit. They were able to find a saving grace, gam lekoifer bakoil, even for the individual who comes to court and denies completely. Sheyucha lios shekofar bakoil, whereby the rabbis discovered, could be that he's denying completely. He's saying he never borrowed a penny, Vafal Pikein Enoi Rosha, and yet he's not a Rosha. He doesn't really mean that. He's doing that to delay, to buy himself some more time. He's definitely planning in 3 months or 6 months to come back and pay up every last penny. See, he's not a Rosha V'choshud Legamri. He's not Rosha V'choshud Legamri. He's not total evil. He's not suspect to do anything. He's not suspect to swear falsely. Rak machmas sofek milvi yeshona sheyashelov. Come on, Shem Rabbi Senazar. The Gemara says one of the reasons could be that he thinks, who knows, you know, maybe he owes me money. We've done business many times, Shimon and Reuven. And I lent him money. Who knows, maybe if I look back at my records, it's possible that a couple of years ago I lent him money and he never paid it back or never paid it back fully. So for starters, let me deny. First thing I want to do is say, I don't owe money. Until I get a chance to go back to my records and really check, if I see that he really doesn't owe me anything, of course I'll give him back the money. As the Gemara over there in Bab Metzia discusses this, Betam Hashvua Shel Koif Rakoil. Why the later rabbis, went ahead and said, no, this guy also, we're going to make him swear. And when it comes to swearing, he's not going to play. He's not going to say maybe. He's not going to swear on a maybe. V'alkein Tiknu Gam Ala Koif Rakoil. And this is why the rabbis instituted that even this individual who is denying completely, we're going to make him swear, ki hechi doloide, so that he will admit, he'll admit to the truth. Ki ro, because the rabbis saw, shegam hu yochoy lehizbarer velotzeis min horava sheker al yidei ashvua, shevchina Shabbos. The rabbis saw that it's possible even to rescue somebody like this, even to get somebody like this to do tshuva, a person who's denying everything, it's possible to reach out to him through a shvua, which represents the holiness of Shabbos, Sheva, the seventh day, and to be able to bring him back. Kimotsu schus gam lekoifer bakoil, because these rabbis were able to find a justification, an excuse to this person who's denying completely, she'enoi choshud legamri, that he's not suspect of doing anything, doing any kind of evil. Rak machmas sofik milvi yeshono kanal. It's only because he's not sure, maybe the other guy owes me money, that's why he's playing. That's why he's playing around, he's playing for time to go back and check over his records very carefully, and then he'll come, if he really owes the money, he'll come forward and pay it. Kize iker inyan avoidas hatzadik. Because this is the most important work of the tzadikim, sheroitze levarer ulahalois neshomois meimke aklipois, that their mission is to go behind and at Christmas say, what are you talking about? Tzaddikim have their own yeshiva, they're teaching their own students. They're busy teaching other rabbis, the rabbinical students, other tzaddikim. Tzaddikim don't hang out in the mud, they hang out with tzaddikim. Rav Nosson Zal saying, that's not true. That is simply not true. That's what they do as a hobby. That's what they do as a side job. They're teaching deep Torah to great, great holy tzaddikim. But their most important mission, and again, those are the words, say Ikar, his most important mission is going into the Sitra Achra and being able to rescue, extract sparks of holiness from there. We know in the army, even regular, the Gemara says you can learn a lot. You can learn a lot about what goes on in heaven by studying real life. There's infantry, there's tank brigade, all tough guys. But everybody knows that they're silly putty. They're chocolate cake compared to the real tough guys, the paratroopers, the people who are being trained to go behind enemy lines, where they're not fighting with their buddies. They're being parachuted into enemy territory. And over there, engage the enemy. Over there, rescue, go on rescue missions. Those people, one of those is like 100 or like 1,000 regular soldiers. Shenoflu aidei ma shenoflu. These souls and these holy sparks, which have fallen into the Sitra Achra through whatever ways they fell. Vehu ma lo isam, and the tzaddik is the one who elevates them, al yedei shemoitzei lohem schus, by finding merit in them, by being able to find the good in them. Afilu lo reshoim, even for reshoim, mechapes umevakesh umoitzei eze schus kolshu. The tzaddik searches for and finds a schus, a merit, something good to grab onto, and thereby to be able to rescue that person, to pull them out of the mud. Vaidezeh malo isam afilu mira gomur. And this is how the tzaddik has the ability to rescue people, even who have crossed, who are not noiga, even those people who are in ra gomur, to be able to rescue them. Who can move on bedivrei Rabbeinu Zal b'mokim acher, as Rabbeinu Zal discusses this in other places. We know, for example, Moshe Rabbeinu, who is he makariv? The Pope himself, Yisroi Kohein Midyan, the one who worshipped every idol. Torah says he said, I know Hashem is greater than every single idol. The Gemara says in order to say that, he had to be an authority. He had to be a connoisseur. He tried every single one. And that's the one whom Moshe Rabbeinu was able to bring into the Kedusha and get a wife. His daughter was Moshe Rabbeinu's wife. And this is why the later rabbis instituted a shvua even for the person who denies completely. Even though based on the written Torah, this person does not require, is not obligated to swear at all. Because Rav Nosson Zal says, why didn't the Torah obligate him to swear? Rav Nosson Zal shows now it's logical. Because either way you look at it, if we think that this guy's lying, when he says he doesn't know a penny, he never borrowed the money, he's lying, then what's swearing going to help? If you're saying this person is a complete liar, he's not afraid to lie in front of judges, he ain't afraid to lie in front of anybody, then what's the Sefer Torah? What's the Sefer Torah going to help? A rabbi is a living Sefer Torah. If he's not afraid to lie to the judges, what's the Sefer Torah going to help? Avol Chachameinu Zal, whereas our rabbis Badoiroi Soachroinim in the later generations, Tiknu Gam Olav Tshuva, they introduced a tikkun. They instituted that even this person can swear. Ki Badoiroi Soachroinim. Because as we get further and further, as we get closer to the coming of Moshiach, in the later generations, Azai Mevarim Gam Me Oime Korah Kanal. That's when the tzaddikim are going into the depth of evil, the depth of Ra, and doing rescue missions over there. V'alkein Chipsu U'motzu S'chus Gam L'koifer Bakoil Kanal. And that's why those rabbis were able to search for and discover a schus, a merit, an excuse to justify this person that he's not a Molik. He's not a, he's mistaken. He's coming up, he's justifying what he's doing, but he's not really total evil. V'itilu gamolav shvua. They instituted a shvua for him also, kidei sheyachsor el ha'emes, so that this person will revert back to the truth, al yedei ha'shvua, by making him swear, sheze b'chinas tshuva. This is an example of tshuva, b'chinas Shabbos. Like we said, Shabbos represents the ultimate tshuva. Kidei levarer hatoiv gam me'oy mekara, in order to be able to extract and save the good, even from the worst evil, mibchinas koifer bakoil, from the ones who are in total denial. Now, Rav Nosson Zalei adds the cherry on top. V'alkein, guess what? Guess which rabbi is the one in the Gemara who instituted this? V'alkein, Rav Nachman Daiko Tikein Heses. It was a rabbi called Rav Nachman in the Gemara who was the one who instituted this shvua, who reached out to the furthest people away, to the people who are koifer bakoil. Ki Rav Nachman hu bechinas hisnoitzitzus Moshiach. Because Rav Nachman is a rabbi who represents the sparks of Moshiach, when Moshiach's coming is starting to happen. K'moy she'espoer b'atzmai, as we find in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, page 98, Rav Nachman said this about himself. K'moy d'isa v'div Rabbi Senzal, the Gemara says over there, Omar Rav Nachman said, Imin chaya, if Moshiach is among the living now, kegoyin ano, then it would be somebody like me. What kind of statement is that to make? You know how big you have to be able to say something like that? Shenemar, and he brought a pasuk, Vahoyo adiroi mimenu. He quoted a pasuk which substantiated his words. So Rav Nosson Zal says, look at this, that it was Rav Nachman who was the one who was able to institute a tikkun for the people who are furthest away. V'ikr b'china zu levar ha'gdusha me'oy makara. But the real success, the highest level of success in being able to rescue and extract the holiness that's found even in the deepest evil, the deepest darkness, hu rak al yedei Moshiach. That will only be accomplished by Moshiach himself. V'chol tzadik emes shu b'chinas Moshiach, and every true tzadik who is an aspect of Moshiach, who is like Moshiach, hu oisek bozeh. This is what they're involved in doing. V'alkein, and therefore, Rav Nachman, shehu b'chinas hisnoitzitzus Moshiach kanal. Rav Nachman, who actually said in the Gemara that if you want to know what Moshiach looks like, it's somebody like me. Therefore, alkein tikein shvua gam lekoifer bakoil. He was a rabbi who had the authority, the power, to institute a shvua even for the people who were furthest away. Shubichinas levar hatoiv gam me'oy mekora sheze ikar hageula. This is what redemption is really all about. You want to know what's going to be happening at that time? Rav Nosson Zal is describing. This is what it's really all about. It's about the ability. It's about his kiruv, outreach, and it's about reaching some of the people who are the furthest away possible. Rabbeinu Zal once said that there are people sitting at my table for whom the she'ol tachtis would be too good for them. The seventh level of Gehenna, the lowest, minus seven, would be too good for them. They don't deserve that yet. Those were the kind of people he was able to reach out to. You remember the last few months of his life when he moved to Uman. He met the founders of the Haskalah movement, the founders of the Reform movement. And these people had bounced. They had gotten rid of rabbi after rabbi. Each rabbi, religious rabbi, who tried to come into their town, they found a way to dump him, to get him to run, to leave. And when Rabbeinu Zal came into town, they figured, okay, here comes another one, batter up. And there were three of them. There was a father-in-law and his two sons-in-law. So one of the sons-in-law said, I heard he's a young guy. Maybe you guys rest. Take it easy. I'll go handle this one by myself. And his name was Landau. That was his name. His name was Landau. And sure enough, he found out where the rabbi is staying. And he knocks on his door waiting to see this kid, this cute kid, you know, 38, 37-year-old young man who came to town and to see how quick they're going to get rid of him. And he knocks on the door. And Rabbeinu Zal answers the door, and he says, yes, what are you looking for? He said, I heard a very important person came to town. He says this to Rabbeinu Zal. He says, yes, he's three blocks down. There's a general, if you go take a look, I heard also. Go ahead, have a nice day, and close the door. And this person, the way he saw it, that this, he recognized that this isn't a joke. This is not ping pong. He's going to have to find a way to get that door open again. And that was the beginning of an interaction between Rabbeinu Zal and Landau and his brother-in-law and the father-in-law. The father-in-law had a sword made out of solid gold that had been given him by the Tsar of Russia as an honorary degree, like showing how high how the kind of respect that the Russian government had for this academic, for this deep mind, this profound person. Hershberg was his name. This Hershberg and Rabbeinu Zal, sure enough, they interacted with him. They came to him one day and they were holding one of their books, one of their philosophy books. And Rabbeinu Zal said, let me take a look, can I see that? And they said, no, this isn't really for you. He said, no, I want to see it. They said, no, Rabbi, I mean it, it's not for you. He said, I insist, give me the book. He takes the book and it was a little fatter than this book. It was about 600-700 pages. And Rabbeinu Zal starts leafing through it like this. Slowly looking, and he says, interesting. And they're looking at him. They know, you can't read that. This isn't Mary Had a Little Lamb. This is deep stuff. Nobody can read it like that. And Rabbeinu Zal starts quoting to them different things from different parts of the book. And they really got scared because they saw this is not a human mind. This is not an ordinary person who can swallow, who can drink this stuff up in seconds, stuff that they're breaking their head to try to understand. And sure enough, a few months later, on Rosh Hashanah, when these three came to join Rabbeinu Zal's minyan, they davened with Rabbeinu Zal for Rosh Hashanah, the maid, Hershberg, the father-in-law, was very wealthy, and the maid came to bring him coffee. Early, 10 o'clock in the morning, 11, he hasn't had his coffee yet. He looked at her and said, not before the shofar blowing. Can't do that. Things which there are very religious people today who have their coffee and their cheesecake before show it some people. And this atheist, these three who made an agreement that they will never let the word G-O-D out of their lips. They're not going to use that, no, not even as a joke, nothing. They wanted to make sure that they were allergic to that word. That word is not part of vocabulary. This is the level that a few months of interacting with a Rav Nachman had this kind of effect on them. And it's told that this Hershberg, when he was on his deathbed, he kept repeating, Oy, de Rebbe, if only he had lived longer, because Rabbi Nachman passed away a few months after he met them. He said, if only he had lived a little longer, who knows what could have become of us? Who knows how religious we could have become? So Rav Nosson Zal says, V'chol tzadik emes, shubchinas moshiach, hu oisek bozeh. Every single true tzadik who is like Moshiach is involved in this work, this outreach, this level of not just going into the noiga, but going into the ra gomor, going into, and again, we've seen examples. I am not qualified to say who's a tzadik and who's a bigger tzaddik. There are people say, oh, you know, I met this person, a big tzaddik. And I always ask, what, 6 feet? 3 meters? How big? 800 pounds? Is he one of those real heavy-duty ones? People use those words loosely. We don't use those words loosely. But we know that a few years ago, there was a rabbi in this generation, one of the rabbis, a person of flesh and blood who lived in the United States. And this rabbi had students. This rabbi would give shiurim 3-4 hours, fabrengens they called, where he'd speak for 3-4 hours in Yiddish. And he had 1,000 people sometimes there. And again, it started off with 100,000, and then soon they started recording the shiurim, spreading it further than that, reaching out further. And then video, all kinds of technology came into being where they could broadcast shiurim by satellite to the whole world. And this rabbi, each one of his students who he felt was qualified, he sent him to a different part of the world. Literally every single part of the most ridiculous, absurd Sahara Desert, Coca-Cola and Chabad. Bangkok, any place you want, any place on earth, one of his students has to go there, parachute, again, a paratrooper, go in there, not with a bag full of, not with a couple of hundred grand to set up shop, with nothing, with a pair of tzitzis and tefillin and a wife, and go ahead, let's see you do it. Let's see you start. Let's see you get a shul. Let's see you get a minyan. Let's see you get a shul. Let's see you get a mikvah. Let's see. And those who travel to different places know that there are thousands, thousands of shuls, yeshivas, mikvahs, chabad houses all over the world where you have this incredible, there was just a few days ago, they had their annual meeting, 4,000 shlichim from all over the world. Each one of them could represent 1,000 or 10,000 people that they've reached in their neighborhood, in their city, with the shul, with the books, with everything going on. This is an example. This is one example of a person who has had such an effect on Klal Yisrael, who people who were nobody ever dreamed of reaching those people, sending a paratrooper out, and these people have become Shomer Shabbos, kosher, their kids, some of them they never, but their kids go to yeshivas, some of them come to Eretz Yisrael all over the place, and have grown incredibly. V'alkein, Rav Nachman, Shehu Bechinas Hisnoites Moshiach, and therefore this rabbi in the Gemara, Rav Nachman, we're not talking about Rabbi Nachman Bresk, we're talking about the Rav Nachman in the Gemara. Alkein, Tikein Shvu Agam Lekoifer Bakoil, he's the one who instituted a Shvu, even for those who are in total denial, Shehu Bechinas Levar HaToiv Gam Eyo Mekara, Shezeker Iker HaGaula, Sheyia Al Yedei Moshiach, Sheyovoi Bimhei Rabbi Yameinu. And this is what the real Gaul is about, which will be through Moshiach, who will come very soon in our time. Sheyale neshomois kedoshois me imke aklipois. He's the one who's going to be able to conclude this mission, to finish this mission of elevating holy souls from the depths of the tumah, of the klipa. Vikabeitz nidocheno mearba kanfois oretz. And he will gather the lost souls, nidochim, from all four corners of the earth, b'mheira b'yameinu amein, speedily soon in our time. Rav Nelson's obviously concluded the halacha here, but he adds still a few additional pieces. Paragraph Hey, v'alkein, b'roiv hatainois v'hasichsuchim. Now Rabbi Nezal, during his lifetime, spoke about the Gemara. When the Gemara says, when there was great machloikis, when there was great opposition to Rabbi Nachman of Breslov during his lifetime, he once said, it's no problem, the Gemara says, Hilchas k'Rav Nachman bedini, that whenever Rav Nachman is in a debate, in a disagreement with somebody, the law is like Rav Nachman. So the fact that they're debating, the fact that people are contradicting me, opposing me, the Gemara says that there's going to be din, there's going to be machloikas with Rav Nachman. But the Gemara already said that the halacha is like Rav Nachman, that he's the one who has the right. And we know that Rabbi Nezal, throughout his Sforim, the many chapters in Likutei Moran, that Rabbi Nezal emphasizes this, that of course it's a mitzvah to teach Torah to religious people. Of course it's a mitzvah to give shiurim in Gemara, in Tosfos, in Rishonim, in Halacha, in Kabbalah. It's a major accomplishment, but not to be compared in any way to the accomplishment to the Kiddush Hashem, the honor and glory that Hashem gets when somebody succeeds in taking people who are far from Yiddishkeit, who are not religious, not believers, and get one of them to become religious believers. That's a far, far greater tikkun, and that's what the Geula is really all about. That's what Mashiach is, that's what the Geula is all about. But note the wording Rabbi Nezal uses. Rabbi Nezal did not say that he was Moshiach. Rabbi Nezal said that Moshiach, he prayed very hard to Hashem that Moshiach should be from his descendants. But he didn't refer to himself as Moshiach. Rabbi Nezal did say that when Moshiach gives a shir, the Torah that he teaches, he's going to finish by saying, Kimavur b'Likutei Moran, as is explained in Likutei Moran. That he's going to be teaching the same ideology, the same, just Rabbi Nezal said, to him, everybody's going to listen. And now, until Moshiach comes, there's still free choice. There are people who choose to respect these teachings, Moshiach's teachings, and there are people who choose not to accept it, to disagree with it. Paragraph Hey, V'alkein, and therefore, Baroiv hatainois v'hasichsuchim shiesh bein b'nei odom be'iskei masumatan, in the majority of disagreements that take place between people doing business, when they get into a major disagreement, al piroiv tzrichim shvua. In most cases, it ends up in court. Again, during the and somebody has to swear, actually take an oath, to prove that he's telling the truth. Ki asiyas hamasumatan hu bechina sheishis miachol, because conducting business, that's associated with the 6 days of the week. On Shabbos, we don't do business. So business is like the 6 days of the week. Shehein bechinas lametes malochos, which correspond to the 39, which during which we perform the 39 acts of work. Ki kol ho'asokim v'chol ha'masumatan kolu b'lametes malochos, k'muv mokam achar. B'divir Rabbeinu zal simen dal gutei tanino. Because all different types of work and livelihood and business, all of that is included under the umbrella term, the 39 acts of work. As Rabbeinu Zal discusses this in chapter 4 in the second half of Likut Imran, which is tied into the 39 curses that Hashem gave when Adam and Chava followed the advice of the snake and ate from the Eitz Hadas. Hashem issued 10 curses to Adam, 10 to Chava, 10 to the snake, 9 to the earth. Aruro ha'adoma bavurecha. And those 39 curses resulted in all the difficulties that people have in earning a living, the struggle for parnasa, work, business, all of those things. As it says over there, Bezeya sapecha toichalechem, be'itzovoin toichaleno. V'lametes malochois, bohem necho zua masanochosh, eitz hadas tovro. And these 39 acts of work, business, all of this stuff, the snake is involved in that. The tomb of the snake is involved in that. The Eitz Hadas Toivora is involved in that. Ki heim bechinas b'itzovo in toichaleno, b'zeas toichalechem. Dehainu yegias haparnosas. This is the struggle to earn a livelihood. Shezeh bo'al yidei Eitz Hadas, which came into being as a result of them eating from the Eitz Hadas, which is good and bad. V'alkein al pi roiv yecholin lipoil chas v'shom aydem asumatan lebechinazu. And that's why in majority of people who are involved in business, who are doing business, who are working for livelihood, can easily slide into this, can easily slide into Eitz Hadas Toivora. Dahainu, lihiyos koifer b'chaveroi, meaning that somebody will say, you owe me money. An employer will come and say, hey, you fired me, you owe me, I'm supposed to get some, I don't owe you anything. What do you mean? You weren't really in a point. You didn't really do this. You didn't really do that. All kinds of disagreements. V'limtzoy dahainu liyos koifer b'chaveroi. V'limtzoy loy eze heter oy d'chia. For one person to deny the claim of another person and come up with justifications. A heter or a d'chia. K'moy moide b'miktzis. He admits partially. Sure, I owe you, but I don't owe you what you're. I don't owe you all the money you're asking for. Oy koifer b'koil. Or in certain cases where he says straight out, I don't owe you anything. You weren't really an employee. You didn't really make the sale. I made the sale. All the different... L'divrei Rabbi, either moide b'miktsas, according to the written Torah, or koifer b'koil, l'divrei Rabbi Senezal, according to the later rabbis. Ki ikra masumat, shubhan islamat asmalach, shubhan ishesh me'achoil, heim bebechina zu. Because business, these 39 acts of work, which correspond to the 6 days of the week, this is what they're all about. Kosher, posel, tomei, toher, osur, mutter, buying and selling, receiving and sending. V'alkein, tzrichen liyoy zohir benafshoy moid moid. And therefore, a person who's out there in the working field, a person who's involved in business, has to be very, very careful, lasois masu matan be'emuna, to make sure he's conducting his business in an honest, trustworthy way. Livli lipoil is sheker varachas v'shon, not to fall into lying or evil, aidea masumatan, by being involved in business. V'alkein, and therefore, mi shenofal chas v'shon leiz a sheker, a person who did fall into any kind of lie, v'yesh taino beinoyu bein chaveroi, and there's a disagreement between him and another person, hatikun hu shavua. The solution sometimes is to swear. Shehibechinas Shabbos, which we said represents the holiness of Shabbos. Shehibechinas Naicha. Shabbos is menucha, rest. Shaydezeh. Rest means not vacillating. Yes, no, right, wrong. Kosher, posel, tomei Torah, like we learned earlier. Shaydezeh, oilalin, v'nizbarim, mebechinas eitz hadas, v'nesheshes me'achoyel. Through Shabbos, through the holiness of Shabbos, which is this rest, the holiness rises up and gets removed from the Eitz Hadas, which is good and bad, v'zoichen lebechinas Eitz HaChayim, and v'zoichen to that other tree, the tree of life, bebechinas mashekosu b'zoyar, now, as we quoted earlier from the Zohar HaKadosh, where the Zohar HaKadosh said, ve'i ovar aloi raisa, if a person goes against the Torah, is shakyo memeriru dilona, then he receives his nourishment from the bitterness of the tree, from the tree that's bitter, the Eitz Hadas. Ze bechinas mar mimoves, bitterer than death. Bechinas atzvus, depression, v'yegiyas haparnosa, and the struggle for livelihood. Bechinas masu matn she'enoi be'emuna. That's a person who's conducting business not in a trustworthy way. Ukemudu Rabbeinu Zal b'mayr tzivis et tzedek. As Rabbeinu Zal discusses this in chapter 23 in Likutei Moran, ayin shom heitev. Study that chapter carefully, because that's the chapter where Rabbeinu Zal really expounds on the topic of money, kosher money and unkosher money. V'chatov b'tyufta, but when the person does tshuva, itmar, the pasuk says, v'yoyreyu Hashem eitz. Hashem sends them the other tree, do eitz hachayim, that's the tree of life. Hayinu al yidei tshuva b'chinas Shabbos, sheze b'chinas Shavua kanal, al yidei ze nizbarer hatoy v'nidcha ra. Through tshuva, which is Shabbos, which is Shavua, through that he sorts out the good, he separates the good from the bad. V'nimta kamarirus, and the bitterness is sweetened. B'chinas vayimtiku amoyim, as in the case of the Jews in the desert at that time, the waters were bitter, they couldn't drink it. Until Hashem sent them that tree, they put that piece of wood in the water, and then the waters became sweet waters. Ayin Shom, look over there in chapter 23 in Likutei Moran, and in the Zohar HaKadosh, you'll understand this well. Paragraph Vov, V'yalkein Iker Hashvua Hi Benechitas Chefetz. And this is why during the time of the Gemara, when a person had to swear, he had to be holding something in his hand at the time. Dahainu Sefer Torah. He had to actually be holding a Sefer Torah. Ki ha Sefer Torah hi bechinas Eitz HaChayim. Sha'idei zeh nimtak merir sanal v'nitchara. Va'idei zeh yoide be'emes. Because the Sefer Torah represents the tree of life, which sweetens that bitterness and pushes away the evil. It gets rid of evil. And that will lead the person, if he was lying before, this will get him to admit the truth. Because the good has become separated from the evil, al yidei ashvua, by swearing, shubchinas Shabbos, b'chinas tshuva shleima, b'chinas nachanal. Swearing, which is like Shabbos, which is complete tshuva, like we learned earlier, which represents rest, peace. Baruch Hashem li'olam, amen v'amen. May Hashem be blessed eternally. Again, Rav Nelson Zal finished, and then he found another piece to add. Paragraph Zion. V'alkein nikra shvuas ha-koifer ba-koil, shvuas heses. Now you'll understand why the Gemara says that this person who denies completely, he denies that he ever borrowed a penny, the shvua that we impose on him is called a shvuas heses. And we said heses is miloshen hasata. Hasata means to incite, to try to convince a person to do something. Because through this shvua, doichin iker zuamas hanocha shakadmoini, we get rid of, we eliminate the real tuma, the real impurity of the original snake, shenikra mesis, whom the Gemara calls a mesis. He was an insider, a seductor. He used all kinds of flowery things to seduce Chava, to convince Chava to follow him, to go against Hashem and follow the advice of the snake. Ki hu hameisis sorishoin. The snake was the first one to try to seduce and convince people to do the wrong thing. Shemishom ikra hara hagomer. That's the source of real total evil. And by the rabbis making this person swear, this person who denies completely, this helps us extract the good that's found in the deepest depths of Tumah, the Tumah, the snake. Rav Nosna says, because we want to bring back those people, even those people who deny completely, who are in complete denial. Al yidei ha-shvua shehitilu olav. Through this shvua that they're imposing on him. It's incredible. This morning was the yahrzeit of Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Levracha. And we went to Har HaZeisim, to his kever. And one of the people who was in car with me, a friend of mine, who traveled a big distance. He came from a very, very, very far place. He was into all kinds of terrible, terrible, terrible things and was chozer b'tshuva, came back. And this person says to me, he says, I have a question to ask you. He says, I'm in touch with a person who lives in Tel Aviv, Ir HaKodesh. And Tel Aviv is Ir HaKodesh. It's part of Eretz Yisrael, so it is holy. But we know in some places the holiness is more obvious, and in some places the holiness is less obvious. It's more hidden. And he said, there's a person that I met there, that I got to know there, who works. He's a working person. He works in, I think, media or theater, something like that. And he's been bugging me, he's been pressuring me, that he has some friends that he knows who are atheists, Jewish atheists, people who don't believe in nothing, nothing at all. And he knows that I'm involved in outreach, and he wanted to know if I'd be willing to come. He knows that I've dealt with people, that I'm not just familiar with the religious world, that I'm religious with the underworld, the other world, and familiar. And he's trying to pressure me to come to meet with these guys, 10, 15 of these people, who live in Tel Aviv, Ir HaKodesh. They're Jewish, atheist, believe in zero, nothing, nothing, to see if we can engage them in conversation and open their eyes a little, make them aware that the trees and the plant people did not come into being by two apes, by two rocks striking themselves 30 billion years ago, and that formed fossils which evolved into apes, and that's how we have Dizengoff Square and the technology and the Boeing 780, so the Dreamliner, all of this came into being through, it evolved from different rocks, prehistoric dinosaurs and all of that, to try to enlighten these people, to tell them that it's really possibly something, there's another possibility of a real creator, a Hashem, who's behind all of this. And you see what Rav Nosson Zal is discussing here. This is reality. There are people, koifer bakoyer, and the tzaddikim, the true tzaddikim, are aware of this, and this is the mission. This is the mission statement. As we get closer to the coming of Moshiach, it's going to require some of those guys waking up, their eyes being opened and recognizing the truth. Ki onu mechapsim u'moitzim boyischus, because we search for and we find merit even in those people, total denial. Shema sofik milvi yeshana yeshlava, as the Gemara says. Maybe he's not really, maybe he knows he borrowed 1,000. He ain't saying he didn't borrow 1,000, but he thinks that the other guy owes him 3,000 from a transaction that they did a year or two ago, and they never finalized it. So he's a man, but what do you mean? The guy's lying. He's saying you owe me 1,000, he's saying you don't. He's not really lying. It's not really lying. Nimtza, so we see, the Gemara shows us, shal yidei shvua zu, that through this shvua's hesis, mevarin hatoiv me imke aklipois, we have the ability to be able to rescue and extract the good from the depths of the klipois, umachnin umevatlin zua masanochosh, and we eliminate, we subdue and eliminate the tumah of the snake, Shehu Hamesis Horishon, who was the first one who incited people to go against Hashem. Alkei Nikra Shvuas Hesis. That's why the rabbis named this Shvuah Hesis. And again, this is the battle cry of the secular world today. Those who are fighting religious Jewry in Israel, especially in Yerushalayim and Israel, their battle cry is Hasata. That these guys, these religious people, are the worst. They're trying to seduce us, they're trying to brainwash us into becoming religious. Brainwashing, that's called Hasata. When the real brainwasher was the snake, the real brainwasher is these secular garbage who brainwash people to go to rest, to think that life is all about restaurants and drugs, all kinds of stupidity, and cars. It's not bad enough when we were 3 years old, we were playing around with toy cars. They get the adults to play with cars. They advertise billions of dollars to advertise, said, I'll buy this car instead of that car. How much money is being spent to try to convince people, don't buy Toyota, buy the Mazda, buy the stupid, what's the difference? What's the difference if I eat the blueberry ice cream with, or blueberry with the pink, with the blueberry with the black? That's what life, and again, this is life. The advertisement says, this is life. When you get this car, when you're drinking, if you have Coca-Cola, Pepsi, you're not really going to have it. If you drink Coca-Cola, you're going to experience living. That's what, could you imagine? Could you imagine? The guys that are doing this are not 3 years. They're 30-year-olds and 60-year-olds, supposedly human, intelligent people that are doing this. This is what they do for a living. Billions and trillions of dollars being spent on nonsense, narishkeit, stupid, insanity. And again, and the religion, they're calling the religious people brainwashed. That's not brainwashing. Flooding people that you can't walk in, that you can't go anywhere without being flooded with gashmias, without being made to forget that you're a human, that you have a soul, that you have something else to yourself. You're not just a piece of meat from a butcher shop that's going to go into grave and be food for worms. There's something more to us. There's a soul, a living soul inside that's permanent, that's not into Coca-Cola, that doesn't get its high from Coca-Cola or ecstasy or Bexter, all of this stupidity, that gets its high from giving charity, from putting on tzitzis, putting on tefillin, covering a woman, covering her hair. That's how it gets high. That's how it gets to eternity. As we find the Poskim in Shulchan Aruch say that that's why this Shavuah is called Shavuah Hesis, because this person who was sort of attaching himself to lying, if we spill some cold water in his face, we make him swear, that might wake him up, that might bring him reality check to say, hey, enough, you know, I'm not going to go that far. I'm not going to swear with a Sefer Torah in my hand that I didn't borrow the money when I know that I did borrow it. And I just made an excuse that maybe I don't. Because through this Shavuah, we get rid of the tumah of the snake, who's the real brainwasher, by being able to find a drop of good, Gamba hakoifer hakoil, even in this person who is in complete denial, umatil in shvua alav, and we make him swear, kedei sheyach. What's the swearing for? Kedei sheyachzer b'tshuva, so that'll get him to repent, v'yoyde be'emes, and to admit to the truth. And again, we said this is timely because we mentioned Rav Rosenfeld's Alziyot site. We gave an example of the Chabad Rebbe in Breslov. In the past 100 years, a person who was a Lone Ranger, single-handedly lived in the United States at the time, in New York, where there was no Breslov, where Hasidus was very, very limited, and there was almost nobody other than the Chabad Rebbe doing outreach. There was one person in Breslov who spoke English well, who was intelligent, who was knowledgeable in every facet of Torah, Halacha, Chumash, Navi, Gemara, Shulchan Aruch, Medrash, Kabbalah, Hasidus, and yet understood that the ultimate high, the greatest achievement, he could have been giving shiurim for Rosh Yeshivas. But he understood, that'll make Hashem a little happy. I want to make Hashem very happy, very happy. He knew meant out, reaching out to kids who are not from non-Shomer Shabbos homes, He went to Torah and teaching a Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is those kids who go to public school all day, 9 to 3 public school, and right before the bar mitzvah, 11, 12 years old, they get 2 years of Hebrew from 4 to 6, 2 hours a day. They're taught how to read Hebrew and a little bit about Jewish history, this, that, to be able to get bar mitzvahed and then take the tefillin and put it away in the drawer and then continue with life. And he went to teach those kids and hasata, shvuas. He taught them stories. He taught them about Yiddishkeit. He inspired them enough to battle with their parents, to battle to get them in yeshiva, to leave public school, to go into yeshivas, to become rabbis. Somebody became rabbis. Their children became rabbis. Speak real oivdei Hashem. This was the main facet of what he did, besides learning and all kind and supporting, raising money to build the shul and Meir Shorim, the yeshivas, all kinds of things. The ultimate high for him was every time that he saw somebody who was far from Hashem and had the ability to see the good, to see the potential good, even a person who seemed impossible, like this person, you'll never, never, bring him here. These teachings, the Likutei Halachos, Rav Nachman has a solution for this person also. He can reach anybody just about. Unless, we know Rabbi Elazar said that there's a Mishnah that says, Hakina, Vahataiva, Vahakovoid, Moitzin Esodom and Oilam. There are three things that take a person out of the world. One is jealousy, envy. The other one is taiva, desires. Person who likes, who's looking for pleasure, pleasure seeker, that's taiva. And kovoid, person who's looking for respect and glory, wants to be respected. Rabbi Nachman said, kina and taiva, we can handle. Kovoid, if a person's for looking for kovoid, 3 blocks down. Not one of my customers. In order for a person to be able to receive holiness, there has to be a certain level of humility, that the person doesn't think that they are G-O-D, that they're invincible, that they know everything. A person who thinks he knows everything can't. A person who's open to learn from somebody else a little bit, that person, no matter how far they are, they can still be helped. Hold it over here.